My life is a treasure. I take advantage of time, not speed. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. My life is my treasure. I take advantage of time, not speed. We remember Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He was saying that perfect speed is being there. Now, what is perfect speed for you? What is time for you? Well, if we would really be honest with ourselves, if we'd really pay attention, time is now. If I take a pin and I come up to you, I say, I'm going to stick you with this pin, and you anticipate being stuck with the pin. You say, don't do it. You can already feel the hurt. You can already feel the unhappiness of a pin being stuck in you. You say, no, don't do that. That hurts you. And then I don't do it. You've already suffered the pain of the pin without ever feeling the pin in your body. You've already had all the antagonism to the pin without ever having it do its thing. But now, this is what we do with most things in life. We suffer the antagonism of the circumstances, if that's what they are, and we do it instantly. We do it long before it ever happens, and if we want to, we do it continuously as it is happening. Continuously sounds like time, and but every moment we feel that. Every moment we feel that. Now, I'm going to stick a needle in your arm and give you a shot at the doctor's office, and I'm going to give you this medicine that'll be good for you. And you come in there and you say, oh, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then the nurse in the other room drops a tray of junk, you know, of things, and it falls all over the floor. The doctor, meanwhile, click, gives you the shot and pulls it back out. And then you say, will it hurt, doctor? Will it hurt? What do you mean, will it hurt? Well, the needle hurt. You've already had it. I've already done it. Oh, it didn't hurt. No, your attention was somewhere else. Your attention was far away from the needle. And you didn't even think of it. I am a one-pointed doctor. I do what I'm doing. I don't care if the world falls apart outside there. Whatever task I'm doing, I do it with all my attention. And so therefore, you had your shot in its perfectly normal way, and you didn't even know it. Because you were not one-pointed. You didn't stay with me and that needle, and to watch that needle go into your arm and stick in there and pull out tons of blood. No, it's just putting in a little bit of vaccine. But you see, when we realize that every moment our attention is wherever it is, and if we want to be master of ourselves, we take our attention and put it where we want it to be. Now, did that needle hurt? Yes, that needle hurt. Did that needle sting a little bit? Yes, that needle stung a little bit. Did that needle put its vaccine into the body? Yes, it did. Did the doctor rub it with a little bit of alcohol after he shot you with the needle and put a little tape bandage on it? Yes, he did. Did you notice it? No, you were listening to the nurse dropping all the things on the floor. I think they have a tape with that on it. So that people would hear all this noise and be distracted and not even, that's what doctors really should do. Yeah. When they have little children come in for shots, you know, and the little children are kind of leery of the shots, they should have a tape where the elephant's, whoo, 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 the elephant's hooting through its nose, and the kids, what is that? And, oh, that's an elephant. Where's the elephant? Oh, well, we have it in the other room. Can I see it? Can I see it? Sure. And meanwhile, you give the kid a shot and take care of him. It's all done. The kid said, hey, you were supposed to give me a shot, weren't you? Yeah, it's all done. Oh! And you go in the other room. Where's the elephant? Right here on tape. That's true. That's true. You know, you can do that. But you see, that's called, you know, getting your attention away from that which is disturbing you. Now, my life is extraordinary. My life is extraordinary. My life is my treasure. I take advantage of time, not speed. So, If I will take advantage of every single moment of my life, I will have truly a treasure out of my life. My last extraordinary is for lunchtime. But my life is a treasure. Now, I take advantage of time, not speed. And the time is now. And so every moment that I have to do anything that is displeasing to me, I will turn on my Golden Voyage tape and I'll listen to that beautiful music. My mind will drift off with that beautiful music and I will write very poetic, beautiful things that I write. If I take some funeral dirge from Bach or what have you, you know, your mind is all toned down into very unhappy circumstances. You're thinking of death, you're thinking of unhappiness, you're thinking of tragedy. And so, therefore, you're aware of every little possibility that might be a tragedy. Whereas, if you listen to Golden Voyage, your mind is off on a plane of beauty and harmony and love and gentleness. And you don't even think about these things. You don't even think about these. You say, Herb, why do you go into people's into the hospital, into people's hospital rooms and say to them, you want to live or you want to die? Why do you say that? Why don't you just go in there and say, you're home, perfect, go home, pick up your bed and leave, you know, leave the bed in the hospital. But would any of you like to tell me why I say, would you like to live or die? What am I doing?
Catalyzing.
I'm dropping a plate full of instruments in the doctor's office. I'm taking their attention away from dying to the possibility of living. And that's a shock. And so I give them the shock. Do you want to die or you want to live? What? I can live? Sure. The doctor told me you can have permission to live if you want. He never gave that to me. You never asked him. You told the doctor you feel terrible, this is bad and that's bad, and you give all these symptoms, and he does the EKGs and the RPTs and the MIZs, and he comes up with all these beautiful things about you where you're dying. Or you're dying. Yeah. Now why? Because you want to die. You got tired of living. The excitement of life was gone for you. You can be sure that if you have excitement for living, you'll be living in the now. How many people hold off dying until all the family members have been gathered around them? How many people hold off dying until they see their daughter's grandchild from their daughter, you know? They don't want to die until they can see their grandchild. And then the grandchild is brought in, here it is, Grandma. And she says, oh. And he heaves off, you know. And I say, don't do that. You want to see the kid grow up. You want to see the kid get married. You want to see the kid have grandchildren so you have great-great-great-grandchildren, you know. Oh, my goodness. Yes, you can have anything you want if you will live in the now. Now, are you living in the now in the presence of your daughter bringing you your grandchild? Are you living in the now, in the presence of this grandchild growing up and having some children themselves? And then are you living in the now with these grandchildren's grandchildren growing up and having children, and so you have the great-great-great-grandchildren? Why not? Why not? There's no reason you have to die, except that people say you're getting old, and so you should die. But now the tendency is in medical circles to say that you're getting older. That is, you know, you're living longer. And that's in the now. That's just a now thought. That's a treasure of your thinking. Now, do you want to live older? People say to me, I don't want to live in my miserable body. And I say, well, I wouldn't want to live in your miserable body either, you know. Now, what do you want to do about that? Do you want to revive your body? I have a patient I'm working with right now, a client. And this client has some problems. And these problems are exacerbating themselves in their body and their mind. And they only have to do two simple things to remedy this. and live a long, healthy, dynamic, powerful life. One, they have to do exercises 3 times a week, and they have to study meditation. What? Is that all? That's all. That's all. Because, you see, the doctors have concluded for themselves that this patient has a certain glandular trouble, which is not producing the enzymes that the body needs from its gland. And the doctors cannot artificially give it to you. It's not available. But your body can do it. And they have had patients where they would have them exercise 3 times a week and learn how to meditate, to be still, to be quiet. And they have lived a long, wonderful, beautiful life, untouched by the experience that was facing them. Now, this person is coming in for a counseling soon, and I will discuss this with them, and I will tell them all these details, and I will say, all you have to do is mentally get yourself in balance through meditation, and physically do these few things that'll make the difference in getting your glands to work. Now, you say, well, why don't you just treat them with a perfect body attitude, you know? Treat them with my body is whole and perfect right now. Because I did that. And they chose not to do it. They chose not to practice that. And so now I'm just going to tell them this fact. Your condition is no more than a mental attitude, no more than a physical attitude, which you can do. Now, you all know that I can sit, for instance, for several hours lecturing with my legs crossed and up on just a tiny board and stuff like that and be untouched. But everybody else would be touched. My God, here you are, this man, 25 years old, sitting up there doing this for several hours and not being touched. You put your legs down and stand on them, they're not falling asleep. How come? Well, I was too busy talking, sharing ideas, to think about my legs falling asleep. I was too busy doing my mental work that I hadn't even thought about my physical work. You understand? And so, you see, when you do that, that's where your consciousness is. And now, could I have been disturbed by my legs? Could they have fallen asleep? Could they have been in a cramp? Could they have done all sorts of things? Sure they can. The moment I put my attention to them, they can do this. You see, time, not speed. Time is the aspect there. Now, what does speed have to do with it? Well, if you ever move away from your awareness of who you are, you probably want to use great speed to get back to it. Because if you are creating yourself out of sync, out of focus with your pure self, you're looking for a great problem in your life. So I say, my life is my treasure. I take advantage of time, not speed. I take advantage of living in the now, forever living in the now. And that's a wonderful thing to do. Now, how do you live in the now? People say, Herb, you are so intellectual, you are so technical. And I think to myself, when? You know, I may use some nice words, because I love words. And new words pop out of my mouth every once in a while. I look it up in the dictionary later to make sure I did it right, because it just was there. And that's fun. That's fun. But I am not I am a person who is basically intellectual. I am basically what?
Spiritual.
I am basically myself. I am basically spiritually myself. I live in my own inner awareness. And it's a wonderful place to live. Now, my treasure is my life. My life is my treasure. What is your treasure? Is your treasure your life? Is your treasure living in a perfect body? Is your treasure enjoying a perfect mind? Like my brother Ray says to me all the time, he says, my mind is perfect. He says, everything's going good. He says, just my body isn't keeping up with me, you know. That's a phrase. Start thinking your body's keeping up with you. Oh, Herb, you and your positive thinking. No, Ray. You and your body that keeps up with your wonderful mind. You know? You see, as my client is going to find out, it's a simple physical solution and mental solution that will put his body into perfect order if he wants to practice it. As my brother would say, look, my thinking is so great, I'm, you know, da da da. Well, start turning that feeling of great thinking and a great alertness of yourself into your body. Now, I know all the reasons why people have these problems in their body, and I could categorically go with you to discuss it. But every time I discuss the problem so that you can find the solution, you eat me up. All of you. At the breakfast table this morning, I offered several solutions in different areas, and I was chewed to pieces about 6 times. Now, that's unfortunate, because then I'll just stop offering suggestions, and I'll just do what I do, whatever that is. But the thing is, if I said to my brother Ray, Ray, start spending 20 minutes a day saying, I live in my
ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. But he said, it's not ideal. I said, but start saying that. Now, does Ray have anything more important to do?
No. No.
Do you have anything more important to do? Ingeborg, how often during the day do you say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and know that your ideal spirit, mind, and body is a 25-year-old body? Now, Ingeborg, what was your body like when you were 25?
Like now.
I mean, my body is now 25.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
My body is 25. What was your body like when you were 25? I am 25. You see, yeah, I try to fool you. I try to get you away from thinking the fact. When you were 25, remember all the suitors you had and all the this you had? Oh, yes. No! Now you're 25. Now you're 25. And do you have a bunch of suitors after you now? Yes. Everybody in the world loves you. Everybody in the world thinks you're wonderful. Everybody in the world wants to be a friend of yours. Because you never judge them. You never pick on them. You never stick your nose in their business. You are just a lovely person living your own life. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Stelvia, stop it. Don't do that. You're smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you stop it. I'm saying to Ingeborg, you are living in your perfect body right now. You don't judge anybody. And I'm saying these things. Now, don't you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then look at me. Don't complain with yourself. Look at me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're looking, that will be the day that she ever is like that. But you don't want to even think that. Because if you're thinking that, that's what you are. Now, how is Ingeborg? Quickly. Well, okay, Ellen, how is Ingeborg?
Wonderful, loving, gentle, perfect, young, vital, dynamic, enthusiastic.
Okay, enough. Enough, enough, enough. Now, Sylvia, and when you can instantly say something nice about something that disturbs you a little bit, then you will soon have it always be nice. Really, Sylvia, that's not a joke.
It is already nice.
That's not a joke. That is something that is a truism. So now, Ingeborg, what do you think of Sylvia?
She's great.
I'm sorry?
She's great.
That's one thing. Now, what do you think of Sylvia? Come on, be loquacious.
She's perfect.
He's perfect. How is my little boy? Are you perfect, little boy? And he says, she doesn't give a damn about me. But you say to the little boy, wow, you got 90 in school today? That's great. Wow, you got 50 in school today? You're doing wonderful. Wow, you got 25% in school today? Fantastic. Now, tomorrow let's do 26%, huh? You're great. I'm so proud of you. And be really proud from your very heart. Now, when you do that, then your life is your treasure, and you're living in the now, and you're seeing everything now. Now, this is my expectation from each one of you. Yes, this is my expectation for each one of you, that you live in the now. That you live in the now and that you praise whatever you are in the other person. Because whatever you see in the other person is exactly who you are, and that's your treasure. So see in them, everything is beautiful. You know why Ellen loves to play with the dogs all the time? It's not difficult to see them so loving. Because they just cuddle up and snuggle up to her, and they just say, you're a nice lady, you know? And that's what we should say to each other. You're a nice lady. You're a nice lady. You're a nice lady. You're a nice dog, but you're a nice dog. Oh, yes, I know you agree. But you see, let's do that, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I will say one thing publicly here that I think is worthwhile saying. When I am speaking to you as a group, and I have a small group here around the table at each meal, and I give the thought for today, instant illumination, and the absolute philosopher, I would like you to give me your 100% attention, that is your eye attention, if not anything else, while I'm talking, so that I don't have to shout at you, Sylvia, Sylvia, and wake you up from your long night's sleep, you know. Because really, if you're tired and you cannot pay attention and cannot stay awake while I'm talking, perhaps you should go back to bed. Because you would have a far better time in bed sleeping than you are listening to me if you're not going to listen. So give me your full attention, all of you. And that goes for you too, Ingeborg.
Yes, I know that.
You drift away there and you're off in the land of Nod many times. And that's not very nice. Ellen? She's always right on top of it. Why is she always right on top of it? Because if she's not right on top of it, she knows she's going to get it later. I'm going to just run her right over the coals and say, Ellen, what sort of an example are you to the people here if you fall asleep while I'm talking? You know, what sort of example are you? And she's, I'm sorry, Herb. That's right, I should be a good example. Now, what sort of example are you, Ingeborg? Please, Bitta?
I am a good example.
That's great. And you, Sylvia, what sort of an example are you?
A good one.
A very good example.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, God's a dunk. Have a wonderful day. I love you. 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 I love you.